Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Today is another one of those special episodes where we have a guest. Very excited to introduce the guest in just a second. Today's topic is the modern CFO in action, and we are so fortunate to have one of those modern CFOs. Marco Torrente, welcome to today's show. Why don't you give an introduction of yourself and then we'll begin the interview with you.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks, Anders. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation. I'm Marco Torrente. I'm a global CFO for Webbets, which is one of the leader travel company B2B. It's a really global marketplace for the travel trade. So it's a big company, talking about around 1.8 billion of euros. And the finance department is big as well. So we are around 200 people across 20 locations.
Thanks for the intro, Marco. So obviously, Marco brings over two decades of experience in finance, primarily within the travel industry. His career has also included a notable eight-year tenure in consumer goods. So having lived and worked in five different countries, Marco's global expertise and extensive experience is kind of captivating, and we're really fortunate to have Marco here. And some of the things we talked about was kind of like the role of finance in a digital-first company. Obviously, you know, many companies today are born digital, and they still, of course, need functions like finance to support them. And it's kind of interesting to understand a bit more how that goes. So, of course, while being a digital first company has its advantages, it doesn't always mean that every process and procedure is fully automated. New companies are still overcoming the challenges that more established organizations experience. And Marco highlighted that the particular challenges that Webbets faced as a consequence of the lockdowns during the pandemic, for instance, which could have been potentially fatal to travel companies. Instead of viewing it as a crisis, Marco and of course his team as well saw it as an opportunity to accelerate digital transformation in finance. And he has highlighted how the pandemic really served as a catalyst for driving digital initiatives at the company. Instead, they used it as an opportunity to implement foundational technologies and adapt to new market conditions. So as Marco said, because we knew that this period would pass one way or another, we needed to be ready right at that minute. We were ready, and we are now seeing a lot of big growth from taking those steps. We did a lot of activity during the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly digital transformation for finance. And this really just underscores the critical role of agility and foresight in navigating unexpected global challenges, which every company faces, but also shows how finance can play a leading role in driving growth through innovation. And perhaps, Marco, you could share a little bit more in sort of more practical terms. What were some of the initiatives you had to kind of do this digital transformation in finance?
Thanks, Anders. Yeah, exactly. So we took the decision not to waste the crisis, as you said, during the COVID. So we really started a new transformation, a digital journey in the company, in the finance, because also it's a company, this one, that grew very, very fast pre-COVID through acquisition. So we were really in the position of, we have three, four different companies that we have to integrate to one platform. So we took the decision to start the digital transformation back then. So the first thing that we put in place, because it was the key part, is to put the foundation in place, which means we did the implementation of the ERP and particularly across the different entities, in particular the acquired one, to make sure that everyone was really talking the same language. So we also spent a lot of time to implement to different company the SAP, but we did it. So we had this ERP platform, so it has a back office in place, which is unique for all the company that we have in the group. Which is the first, for me, obviously the first foundation, first base, because you need to talk the same languages across the companies. And on top of this one, then something that we are working on is then to plug additional tools that can be artificial intelligence, machine learning to the ERP in order to make more efficiencies to the team to make sure that the team is focusing more on added value activity rather than transactional.
Thanks, thanks, Marco. And we'll definitely get back to some of these points you just made here at the end in today's show. So so stay tuned for that. So kind of like the importance of alignment under a unified digital strategy, right? So it's not just in finance, of course. It also needs to kind of flow throughout the company, and especially, you know, you mentioned these challenges and having to create strategies around integrating acquisitions in different regions like UK, Spain, Dubai, and so on. And the points that kind of resonated strongly were where you mentioned kind of like the speed bumps and opportunities of bringing various booking and accounting systems from various geographies under a unified digital strategy. And in so doing, illustrating the complexities of system integration in an increasingly digital business landscape. As Marco said, when teams have to manually process data because of integration issues, the majority of the time is taken up by teams trying to make the data accurate rather than analyzing it. And I think this probably resonates with many finance leaders, right? That this is what a lot of teams are spending their time on. And we wanted to shift the situation, Marco continued, where the team was able to focus more on data analysis rather than the preparation of the data itself. The way to do that is through technology transformation and upskilling the team through training. First point is to make sure that the team is doing more added value activities rather than just transactional reconciliation, for instance. The second key point is that what this enables is for the team to become full 360-degree business partners to the commercial team, giving them more insights and adding more value. We were able to do this when the team had more time to analyze the data. So, you know, we'll just check in with Marco on these insights just a little bit. Kind of a unified and well-communicated digital transformation strategy, especially for the finance function, means that operational inefficiencies like disparate regions and system can be overcome. And what it enables with the right vision is for finance teams to become integral players in driving business growth through providing added value. So, Marco, you kind of spoke about some of these initiatives that you took in terms of the transformation and building that foundation. Could you maybe then speak a little bit to, you know, how has this then enabled you to do more analysis and to be, let's say, better business partners? Could you maybe give an example or two, or maybe just highlight some of those points here that you also mentioned in the interview?
Yeah, exactly. So actually, just to highlight one point, because talking about a multicultural company is really key and essential that you are taking your team across all the digital transformation journey. Because obviously this is not just one main job, but really the same help support for the team. Being in a multicultural, multi-location situation, actually make sure that the communication is done really properly. But we can come back on this one later. So for your question, we were in a situation that I think is very common to additional or other companies, that we have usually the finance department spend around 70-80% of their time to make sure that the data are correct and accurate, because these are the first things they need to make sure they are, and then spend the remaining 20% on the how to analyze the data. What we wanted to do is exactly what Anders was saying before. So we just wanted to shift to spend as less as possible, 40% of our time to make sure the data are reconciled accurate, and spend the rest of our time to analyze them. In which way? Make sure that obviously we have the system ERP in place that we speak the same languages, so at least the number are the number, that it is not really misunderstanding. The reconciliation are done already by the system itself, so that we don't spend a lot of time to make sure that the dispute, for example, are managed. And then if you use a lot of tools that now are in the market that are very, very useful, I'm thinking about machine learning, for example, for some forecast. So make the machine doing the forecast for you at the beginning, cash forecast or TTV forecast. And then after that, so you spend a lot more time to analyzing it and to change it is necessary. At least the base is already done. So this is a really clear example that you can use to expand your organization, to make sure that you're bringing your finance department to the next level, which is actually needs to be business partners. So it needs to be really to give some insight to the commercial team. You can do it when you are free up the time that you are spending on the transactional side. I mean, if you need to give help in terms of going to a different commercial area, or you need to choose a rich discussion instead of the other, I mean, you can do it using the tool that they are in the market, like machine learning, for example, or artificial intelligence, and then analyzing that in order to implement it to your custom situation.
Yeah, fully agree to that, Marco. And we'll just check back in, because we also spoke about this in the interview, kind of like the evolving role of AI and machine learning in the modern finance function. And you kind of shared some of your insights in how AI and machine learning are becoming indispensable in the finance function, saying that, you know, it's very, very useful within finance, whether that's FP&A or cash forecasting or revenue forecasting. If you have machine learning assisting you, you spend less time on analysis and more time preparing and modifying the data to add value to the wider team. So essentially, machine learning handles the initial heavy lifting of data processing, allowing us to apply our expertise where it matters most. And these technologies are not just enhancing traditional tasks like forecasting, but are also pivotal in improving the overall decision-making process. This point reflects a broader trend in finance, where advanced technology is increasingly, as we've discussed in this show many, many times, seen as a component in strategic management in the modern finance function. As with all new technologies, there is a period of assessment and reflection required of their usefulness in different contexts. While this is still in the early stages of implementing AI, including machine learning, we're at the beginning of the journey, you said that, and at the early stage of implementation. We're looking at doing an assessment of what is best for us to use as a business. And to be honest, you said you're seeing that even the assessment phase is also a very useful exercise to go through. And I kind of want to, pick your brain a little bit more on this, Marco, but just to the audience here, we will have a Q&A shortly with Marco, so feel free to raise hand as Marie just did. I'll bring you up on stage, but just hold on for a little bit before starting to ask questions. But feel free, if you want to take part in the Q&A, to raise your hand now and come up on stage. But Marco, maybe you can speak a little bit about this assessment phase and how you see it being useful going through that, even without having implemented anything.
Yes, I mean, this is obviously we're talking about experience here. It's clear, it is essential here to have an assessment. First, to assess what is the best tool that you need to use, if you talk about ERP or if you want to talk about any additional tool for artificial intelligence. Make sure that you know what is in the market, but to do a tender process, apart from the cost side, but also to understand if this system is able to cope with all your customization that you need to do, because obviously each company is different from the other, each sector is different, as you can imagine, from the other. So it's a key point to do is to spend as much as possible time to do a full assessment, so that then you really can have a clear plan for the future in terms of implementation. So you need to understand what is in the market, what are the best tool that is fit, adapt for your requirement, in particular your customization that you need to apply. After that, you need to make sure that you manage the expectation from the management, the top of management, in terms of delivery, to make sure, obviously, that the time frame is in line with the expectation, is in line with what is possible to do it or not. So I can understand also there are a lot of pressure in terms of delivery, in terms of the cost, but if you already, it's better, obviously, to maybe to highlight the delay in the beginning rather than doing the ongoing process. So for me, these two parts are important. So the define, decide the best tool, indicate the clear and the feasible time frame, and also to have, if possible, obviously, there is a lot of constraint in terms of resources, but to make sure, obviously, that you got people dedicated to the project so that actually they are not really doing like a half day of the normal job. So these are three elements that are key for a success implementation.
I think that's very insightful, Marco, just for, because many finance teams are looking at doing this or are going through this at the moment. So kind of hearing from other finance teams that have gone through it and sort of getting some of their learnings, I think it's very, very valuable. I'm not sure exactly how far you have come on, let's say, specific use cases, but is there perhaps a use case that you could kind of mention or highlight that you have maybe done some early testing or implementation on when we speak about kind of machine learning and using it in your finance function?
Yeah, obviously, so we're doing some machine learning in terms of forecasting, right? And then we're in phase of the first phase. So to make sure that, you know, the machine learning is learning properly. So for me, the key point here is make sure that the data are accurate and to spend as much as possible time at the beginning so that the machine learning really can understand what are the main business model, main processes. After that, it's gonna be very, very easy then to validate the number itself. So spend more time to make sure that the machine learning get the data, the proper data that they need, so that then the result is going to be really exceptional.
Great. Thanks a lot for sharing that as well, Marco. We'll go ahead and open up the Q&A as well. So if anyone has questions for Marco, you know, feel free to come up on the stage and share your thoughts, either, you know, also insights on what you've heard here from Marco. Maybe you have your own experiences to share. The floor is kind of open. We already have Marie up here. Marie, welcome back to the show. Feel free to share your perspectives or ask questions.
Hi, Anders. Hi, Marco. Yeah, thank you very much. That's great insight. I was going to ask Anders' question about use cases, and I know about your early days in that. So my other question would be just like the impact on your team. Do you know what kind of reactions you're getting there? Because we hear all this about, you know, AI, you know, coming in and taking our jobs. But I'm more a believer that, you know, we've got the chance to upskill people and get people's roles a lot more, you know, less robotics. We'd just be interested on your insight, Marco, on this journey that you're on.
Thanks. Thank you very much. It's a very important question because obviously you need to have all your team on board on this one. So for me, the communication is super key in terms of share with the broader team what are the objective of this journey, where it wants to achieve. So in particular, you need also to, with the team at the early stage, to show what are the benefits that they're going to have. In this case, the benefits are very, very clear. So they're going to learn additional tools and analysis that is going to be very, very useful for their future career, 100%, because it's where the direction of the world is going. So they can learn different things, new things. And then again, they can step up and increase their day-to-day job, focusing more on the analytical part rather than more transactional. So it's going to be a lot of fun as well, right? So there is, in general, some fear certain on this one because you say that, right, the AI are coming to steal our job, etc. But for me, it's more effect that you need to use your time in a different way to more added value activities. In our case, for example, you know, because we are growing so fast, but we are not really increasing the number of headcount with the same level of the volume, right? That is impossible, as you can imagine. So we make sure that with the structure in place, we can really deliver the support that the business need, even if it's growing with a double-digit growth every year.
Thank you. Thank you, Marco.
Amazing insights, Marco. And kind of you mentioned there that it's kind of, it should be a fun journey for the team, and I fully agree, but others would also maybe be a bit uncertain or concerned about how all this new technology is going to impact them. Did you also experience that with some of your team members? And if yes, how did you help them to overcome these concerns?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, being the most exciting part, but also difficult, is that here we're talking about a finance department, which is across several locations from Asia, Europe, America, etc. So it's very difficult from this part of the world. But again, if you have really clear communication in terms of objective, in terms of benefit for the employees, the majority are following, right? And then if there's someone with a specific concern, I think is that the most important thing is to raise this concern immediately when you are at the beginning of the journey, and then so that you can resolve easily, rather than waiting at the end of the journey, and then it's very difficult to adjust. And then the majority are following. Obviously, there are going to be a few people that are not going to join, and then you can deal with this one. But if you have a clear communication, clear indication of the benefit of the employees, the majority will follow, and I'm certain on this.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think the open and transparent communication is very key here. You know, I always find that as long as we communicate clearly what we expect from people and what it's going to be like to work in new ways or work in digital ways, if that's what we're trying to do, people will, as you say, Marco, they will usually follow. And for those that don't want to follow, it's a much easier choice because it's clear to them what this future looks like, rather than saying, you know, we're going to transform the finance function and it's going to be a long journey. And at the end of it, we'll figure out what to do with the people. And I've seen many finance transformations like this. And that's a very, I could think, uncomfortable journey and very challenging for many people to go through. So I think really this open communication point is also very key.
Exactly. Totally agree.
Yeah. And actually, Marco, I suppose, you know, the actual employees know their roles better than anybody else. So, you know, having that open communication is key to, you know, to getting the best results. So,
yeah, 100%. Exactly. You're right.
Yeah. Thank you.
You also mentioned a bit around the training during the interview, Marco. And of course, one thing is training in using the tools and getting the most out of them. I mean, I always say that, you know, at the end of the day, there's a human being doing something differently. But then in terms of that more added value and being that business partner, what have you sort of done to help your team members step up into those roles? Because that's at least my experience is, I don't know about your experience, but in my experience, it's not an easy step for all finance people to make. So how have you kind of supported them in that?
Yeah, good point. Actually, I forgot to mention this is a key point in terms of communication. Also, the learning and development is another key pillar of any transformation. So obviously, you know, to get the people with you on the journey, you have to make sure that they're following. Following doesn't mean, it means that they need to have the proper training in place to make sure that they can understand the tool, they can use the tool in a proper way. So it's a part of any part of the implementation, in particular the last part of the implementation, that needs to be dedicated to the training of the all user, which is always key. And then this give us, again, another ability for the people to follow you, because obviously they're going to learn a different tool, a different job as well, right? So, and then one key part here that can be done by the super user, so there's people that are dedicated to the project, they can teach the remaining user to the different tools as well. So it's another key point. Thanks, Ander, for remembering me.
Excellent. I'm wondering, you know, because we are getting towards the end here, you know, any one, two pieces of advice you have for either finance leaders or finance professionals, either going through or looking towards a digital transformation of their finance function, what are some of the key things that they should be aware of and do well? And perhaps what's one thing that you wish you would have done differently, if you can share some of those?
Yes, exactly. I mean, the first advice, don't be afraid, obviously, to get to the digital transformation. It can be a small one, right? And that don't have to be millions of spending, but anything that you can do really can be useful, in particular for your team, to make sure that, you know, they upgrade the skill in general. So first, don't be afraid. Second, obviously, for me, the key point, as I said, is the communication, and also to be a proper planning of the implementation assessment. That is very key, right? And something that obviously I talk about experience in past company and past, so this is something that happened also to me in the past. So that's why that you learn from your mistake is something advice that I want to give. And that's, again, you need to tell the people that for me, one professor of Harvard said this sentence that for me is very important, but I wanted to obviously to close with this one. It's not that the AI will replace the human work, but a human who are working using the AI will replace human in the future that are not using the AI. So for me, this was an important sentence to make sure that everyone can be on board, and it's important that everyone can learn about AI. It's going to come in the future, for sure. It's already there, right?
No, absolutely, it is. It is, Marco, and I think it's for all of us to be experimenting with this. I mean, I'm going to be having a webcast with SAP in around a month on this whole AI and generative AI and how it's kind of impacting the finance function, and they will show some of their capabilities there. And it's kind of amazing what's already possible. And you might not have the latest fancy tools in your finance function, but a lot of tools are already available out there for you to, you know, you can just go to ChatGPT or similar, right? And and already have your try with some of these features. So if it's not, let's say, available inside your finance team, then go outside and try to play around with it, because it's a given that you will soon be working with it, whether it's then Copilot or some of the other tools that are coming in through our usual ways of working, or it's a new tool that we haven't even thought about yet. It's for sure coming our way. So great advice there, Marco, for just getting started, and don't be afraid. I mean, I think it's a good thing, right? And it's for us to make it into a good thing for ourselves as well. So lots of very great insights from you, Marco. It's really a real pleasure being able to interview you for the show here. We had, of course, the full interview already available on in the podcast, Hashtag Finance Master Podcast. But also great to have you here on stage sharing additional insights, answering questions, and we really appreciate your time. So thanks a lot for coming, Marco.
Thank you. Thanks to you for having me. Thanks a lot.
Also, thanks to Marie for coming up on stage here. Always great to have your insightful questions and perspectives. Really appreciate that. So thanks a lot, everyone, and see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?